You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
This is MLB.com Extras, Oakland A's edition. I'm Anthony Kastrovitz. I am joined by Jane Lee, and the A's are beginning a 10-game homestand with the Royals, Rockies, and Mariners after a successful trip to Texas. And really, it's been a successful June overall, Jane. What has been the key to the A's finally hitting their stride here?
I think we're just kind of finally seeing them, you know, play baseball without all the errors, all the bullpen mistakes that we saw those first couple of months. You know, I think everyone was wondering during that time, you know, is this a better baseball team than we're seeing, or is this just who we are or who they are? And you know, I think they are a better team than their record indicates. And I think because they did play in so many close games, so many one-run games, you know, those errors, all the bullpen miscues, they really did end up haunting them. And you're seeing it with their record now. And right now you're not seeing as many of those miscues. And they're just playing good baseball. I mean, their starting pitching has always been good. And I think over the last 30 games, their ERA from their starters is something like 2.30, which really is just crazy. But it hasn't been just 1 month. It's been throughout. And so they've always known that they have that in their back pockets, you know, and their offense is getting going. I think that might be the most surprising part, because I'm not sure this was a lineup that was expected to, you know, score many runs, but their offense is, you know, complementing the pitching well, and you're just not seeing those mistakes that were really hurting them early on.
Billy Burns has been a big key to that offense as we record this going into the series finale with Texas. He's got a 14-game hitting streak. He's at 375 with 12 runs scored and 5 stolen bases in that stretch. What have you seen there from Mr. Burns there, Jane?
He's just fast. I mean, that's how he gets on base. I think nearly you know, a third of his hits are infield hits, and you see it day in and day out. And, you know, for a time, he was swinging at his first pitch and getting on base right away, and I think pitchers caught on to that. So he's not doing that as much, but he's still, I mean, he's a contact guy, and he just kind of finds his way on base. He's just the spark plug they need right there, especially with Coco Crisp being out. I really think that, you know, when Crisp went out, this was a major concern for this team, because usually Coco's the one that gets their wheel going. But, I mean, Burns has been, I mean, as consistent of a hitter as anyone in their lineup. And you have to think, you know, if he has a different name, I mean, I think everyone knows that the Joey Gallo's and the Carlos Correa's, but, I mean, Billy Burns should be in consideration. I know it's still early, but when you're talking about, you know, rookie of the year candidates, I mean, it's really something what he's doing. If you were going down a list, you know, of all those rookies, and there's a lot of good ones in the game right now, but if you were to cover up the names, you know, and simply look at the numbers, I'd have to think that, you know, he stands out at the top of that list.
Well, you can't change his name, Jane. Billy Burns is too perfect for a guy with speed on the base pass. It's just too great. We need a different last name for Billy Butler. I don't know what verb we could give to Billy Butler as far as his work on the base pass. But Ben Zobrist, you know, I think last time I did one of these A's podcasts with you a couple weeks ago, we were talking about how they really other teams are going to need to see more from him if he's going to be a trade chip. And we'll get into the trade thing discussion in a moment, because it might be a different equation for the A's altogether now. But Zobrist has really turned things around. He's last 10 games, he's batting 400 with 3 home runs and 10 RBIs and 15 runs scored. Is this just a matter of the guy getting his legs back under him after that knee surgery?
Yeah, I think it is. I think he was a little hesitant coming back. And A said all along, you know, we didn't rush him back. If we didn't feel like he was healthy, we wouldn't have put him out there. But I think, you know, the mental game is just as big as the physical part. And for him, I think he could sense some hesitation when he was out there, whether it was at the plate or, you know, at second base or in the outfield. You know, just very worried about what could happen. You know, or if he could re-injure the knee, and now that he's no longer thinking about that or feeling that, you know, he's getting back to what we saw him doing at the start of the season. And really, I mean, what he's doing, you mentioned, you know, batting 400 of the last 10 games. The A's have won 8 of those games, and I don't think that's, you know, coincidence. I mean, he's such a big part of their offense. Maybe not on other teams, you know, number three hitter, but on this club, that's what he's doing. And you have a guy like that in there and him doing what he is doing, a big part of why this offense has been so good of late. And talking about him as a trade chip, I mean, this only helps their case if that's what they decide to do.
Yeah, and on the trade front, Billy Beane doesn't typically punt a season away. In his tenure, the A's have never lost fewer than 74 games in a season. You know, they never had one of those total outright rebuild type years. And a lot of people I know earlier this year were expecting them maybe to be one of the more active teams before the deadline. You know, now you start to wonder. I mean, they're still, as we record this, they're still 9 games back in the division, 7 back of the wild card. But, you know, you always wonder, especially where they're at in terms of run differential, if they are definitely a slam dunk seller the way people might have thought a couple weeks ago.
You know, it seems like they're going to hold off. I mean, honestly, if you had asked me this last week or even 2 weeks ago, what they were going to do, I probably would have bet that, a trade was coming sooner than later. And now I think they're just kind of on standby with all this because, they see this as parity in the division. I think that has a lot to do with it. The fact that the Astros hit some bumps of late and the Angels and Mariners are having their own struggles. The Rangers haven't been as consistent lately. And they do feel like they can compete in this division. And, they are 9 games back as of today, but they were 13 games back at the end of June in 2012 and ended up winning their division then. And I think when you have seasons like that and you've been through that, maybe you do wait a little longer because you know how quickly things can change. And for them right now, I think their focus is just kind of getting back to 500. They really want to get there and then see what's next. But at the same time, I mean, they do have to start thinking about it because they have 3 really valuable guys who they could get a good return for: Scott Kazmir, Tyler Clifford, Ben Zobrist. And if you let the deadline pass without doing anything, at the end of the year, was it worth it to hang on to them for this amount of time? And right now, they feel like those 3 guys, they need them if they're going to continue this thing. And they feel like right now it is too soon to start, trading away those guys. Now, that's not to say they haven't been discussing trades. I think they've, talked to several teams, notably about Zobrist, just because he is so valuable. And, I mean, you have to think that any contending team is calling on a guy like that, a guy that can play so many different positions for you all, so, providing a quality bat. So, it's something to keep an eye on, definitely. But, I mean, I think for anyone thinking that, the A's are done, well, it's just not true. Like you said, Beam's just not the type to throw anything away. He's never been that way, and they're always going to compete. So it'll be interesting, but right now there is still a feeling in the clubhouse and within the front office that, they can keep turning things around.
Well, on the trade front, of course, the big move they made over the winter was trading away Josh Donaldson, and he's having a huge season for Toronto, maybe even a MVP-type season here so far. And I think early on it would be pretty safe to say the Blue Jays had quote-unquote won that trade, and we all know what a moving target the win or lose a trade can be, but maybe that target is moving now. Kendall Graveman and Brett Laurie, the way they've played here this month. Let's talk about Graveman first of all. He had a terrible first month of the season, 8.27 ERA in his first 4 starts, but now going back to May 23rd, his 7 start stretch, he's got 2.31 ERA. So what's the difference between those 2 versions of Kendall Graveman?
I think it was just him. I mean, it sounds, maybe so easy or cliche, but him just getting comfortable and getting confidence here. I mean, a year ago, when he came up and started the season with the A's, a year ago he was in single A. This is his first time in a big league rotation and, the first time he ever experienced failure. And when that happened, I mean, he really crumbled. He let everything get to him. Couldn't make in-game adjustments. He was very emotional after games. And I think going down, realized he had to kind of toughen up and make the adjustments necessary if he wanted to get back here. He did that, came back, and really, I mean, he looked like the guy they saw in spring training. I think he allowed just 1 run in 25 spring training innings, and you know, he has that sinker ball he has, it's so effective. And, you know, if he's got that going for him, which he didn't early in the season, you know, he's been very efficient with that, gets a lot of ground balls. And now you're seeing him go deep in the games. His first few outings with the A's, you know, could barely make it to the fifth inning. Now he's completing at least six every time, and as of late, seven and eight innings. So, I mean, it really has been a remarkable turnaround for him. And I think it's encouraging, not just for him, but for the A's, because, like you said, I mean, giving up a guy like Donaldson, that's not easy to do. And I'm not sure, you know, their thoughts about it now, but to have the return in a guy like Graveman, who is pitching very well, and Brett Laurie, I mean, Laurie's batting nearly 400 this month, and really has been, you know, kind of projecting upward the whole season offensively, and defensively he's done some good things as well. He's not Josh Donaldson, but they are getting production from, you know, those two guys, and pretty soon I think, you know, they will also have Sean Nolan, who was also in that trade, you know, be part of their pitching staff as well.
And durability from Laurie, which has probably been his most durable season in the big leagues so far. I mean, it's only mid-June here, or late June, I should say. But we'll see if that continues for Mr. Laurie, and we'll see if the A's can continue their recent run. I want to thank Jane Lee for joining us, and thank you all for tuning in. This has been MLB.com Extras, Oakland A's edition.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.